teaching the youth here. So I see them all kind of sitting in the back. You know, you guys should sit up here so I got somebody to tell to sit up straight or something when I'm teaching. I'm used to that. Yep, exactly. So everybody doing good? Okay, we're going to need our Bibles tonight. And we're going to be in Genesis chapter 2. How many of you ever long for a little bit of alone time? Exactly. We all like a little bit of me time, a little time to get away, a little time by ourselves. It's therapeutic, right? Well, maybe too much of a good thing is not therapeutic. There was a study done where they shoved these people into a room. Nothing in the room except a person and a little device that would shock them. And within 6 minutes, 70% of the men shocked themselves and 25% of the women shocked themselves. They didn't let it go any further than 15 minutes because they were worried what would happen. But what that goes to prove to us is we were not created to be alone. Though we want time alone, a little bit of me time, that's okay. But we were not created to live our lives alone. Amen? Amen. Let me pray and we'll get started. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this day, Lord. We thank you that you created us in your image, that, Lord, we can come here tonight as individuals and serve you and worship you the way you created us to, Lord. Lord, we pray that you would speak to us tonight through your word that you've given us, Lord. We just pray that your word would permeate our hearts, that it would change our lives, Lord. And we just give this time to you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So let me give us a little context before we get started, because there are some people that I haven't seen here before. We are going through the book of Genesis, verse by verse, every Wednesday night. Last 3-4 weeks now, we were in chapter 1. And chapter 1 deals with the creation of the universe, the creation of everything. Everything that God created is involved in chapter 1, day 1 through 6. Chapter 2 starts out with day 7 where God rested from his work. Why did he rest? Because he saw that it was good. And then, after that, we see that the writer of Genesis takes a step back, kind of zooms in on the creation of mankind. Last week, we looked at the creation of man, the creation of Adam. This week, we will look at the creation of woman, the creation of Eve. So if you will, let's join me in verse 18, chapter 2 of Genesis, verse 18. The Lord God said, "It is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him." So in all the other chapter, or all the other verses of chapter 1, at the end of every day, God said, "It is good. It is good. It is good." He saw his work and it was good. Here we see that God says, "It is not good. It is not good for man to be alone." There's something inside of us, each one of us have it, that says, "I don't want to be alone." In fact, one of the biggest fear of people that are dying is that they will die alone. And so there's something in us that craves interaction with other people. God made us that way. He made us desire fellowship with one another. He made us desire fellowship with him. That's God-given. But God said, "It is not good for man to be alone. I will make a helper for him." God did not want mankind to be separate or to be apart from any other being. He created all these animals, but they are not what we're supposed to have fellowship with. God intended us to have fellowship with one another. Back in 2009, these three hikers were hiking along the Iraq-Iran border, and they were picked up by the Iranian army, and they were subject to solitary confinement and so on for 4 years, I believe. One of them, a woman, said, after 2 months of no human contact, she said, "My mind began to slip. Some days she'd hear footsteps where there was no one. Other days, she'd see flashes of lights. There was no one there. She started to go insane from sheer solitude, sheer abandonment. They've done studies where in prison, the guys in solitary confinement have a higher rate of developing psychiatric disorders than those who are in general population. In nursing homes, they found that the elderly that do not have anybody come visit them, that never have interactions with anybody, they succumb to their diseases and their age at a lot faster rate than those who have people visit them. We were not created to be alone. Now, I know there's some here that might be like, well, I'm alone. You know, I know what the Bible says, that God created a suitable helper for Adam, but I don't have that. There may be some here that think, well, you know, my family's abandoned me. Maybe you feel God has abandoned you. I'm here to tell you tonight that all this goes to show us is that God will never leave us. He will never abandon us. He said it's not good for man to be alone, and he meant that for every one of us. He said he was going to make a helper, a counterpart, a person who contributes to the fulfillment of a need or the furtherance of an effort or purpose. We cannot do this life on our own. And if we can't do this life, then we cannot do the Christian life on our own. God said he's going to make a helper, a suitable helper. Now, I don't need to explain to everybody why a man and a woman is suitable for each other. That's not the point here. The point is that God will make us suitable. A man after man's own kind. See, back in chapter 1, when God created the animals, the command was that they would go out and reproduce after their own kind. Not that they would evolve into other creatures. Not that, you know, God created the Planet of the Apes and then we kind of got here from there. Not any of that. It's always been after their own kind. And here when he says, I will make a helper suitable for man, he says, I will make a helper after man's own kind, just like man. And we're going to see that when we get to it here. But what about those of us that have a suitable helper or a spouse? We can go ahead and say that. That's where it's going. That, and I'm not saying that my spouse abuses me, but that has abused us or that has left us. What about those of us that say, I haven't found my suitable helper yet? One thing we must understand over everything is that no matter how perfect or imperfect our spouse is, they are in no way a substitute for God.
Amen.
They're just as sinful as us. They're just in need of God's grace and salvation as us. But they are in no way, no human should ever take the place of God in our lives. And that's really the one thing that struck me the most out of this first verse here. Another thing was, this was Adam's first day of existence. He most likely did not know, maybe he didn't realize, that he needed a helper. I mean, he was just created, here's all this land, you know, I'm a guy. We get sidetracked often, you know, rabbit trails and all that. Maybe he just didn't notice that he needed a helper. The thing that stood out to me is, right here in the beginning of time, God sees the need of his creation. And he has compassion on him. God sees our need even before we see it. God knew Adam couldn't do this life alone. And God had compassion and loved him. And said, I'm going to make a helper for him. Even before Adam knew that he needed a helper, God already was at work. That is just awesome to me. Jesus once said, "Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in the barn, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they?" Can I tell you this? You may feel alone. You may feel abandoned. You may feel abandoned by family, friends, loved one. You may even feel abandoned by God. But can I tell you that you are more valuable to Him than you ever will realize on this earth or ever know? God says, "I know the plans I have for you, to give you a future and a hope." That means He's looking out ahead, just as He did with Adam, for you, for me. Amen? My Bible tells me that He is pursuing me every day of my life. He's pursuing you. He's got our best in mind. He knows what we need, and He knows that we need Him more than we realize. So let's move on before I run out of time. That's just the first verse. Okay, verse 19. "Now the Lord God had formed out of the ground all the wild animals and all the birds in the sky." And we saw this in the beginning of chapter 2, that the Lord God formed the man from the earth. Basically, God gathers some dirt together and creates us. When he created the heavens and the earth, it was all out of nothing. Now, it's out of what He's already made. God creates the heavens and the earth out of nothing, and then He takes what He had created and He creates us. He creates the animals. He creates humans. But that's where the similarities end. Mankind was created in the image of God. We can't say that about the rhinoceros. We can't say that about the shark. We can't say that about anything else. But we can say that about ourselves, that we were created in the image of God. Isaiah, in the book of Isaiah, in 64, verse 8, he says, "You, Lord, are our Father. We are the clay, and you are the potter. We are the work of your hand." God got His hands dirty to create us. He did that again on the cross too, but we'll save that for another message. But God formed us with His own hands. It wasn't that He spoke, cow, chicken, you know, it wasn't that. It was that He got down on the earth and He formed us from the dust of the earth. That should mean something to us. When we're going through a hard time, that should give us courage to make it through, knowing that God personally formed us. That like the potter and the clay, that He's molding us into what He wants us to be. God forming from the ground rather than simply just speaking us into existence shows us that He is a personal God. That He is personally concerned about us, just as the potter is with the clay, and that He gave special attention to detail to the creation of Adam. Above all other living creatures, Adam had the most importance. The other thing that sets us apart from animals is that God breathed the breath of life into Adam. It wasn't just He made him come alive. It was that God breathed. He gave us the breath of life. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." And once we realize that, we realize that I'm nothing without Jesus. I'm nothing without God. He's in control of everything, and He ordains everything. Reading Genesis should give us a sense of awe. That we have been fearfully and wonderfully made. That our Creator loved us enough to come down to the earth to create us. And then He gives us talents and abilities and giftings to use for His glory. We were created to glorify God with our lives. We were created to worship God with our lives. And that was the intention. Now, we know that due to sin and due to our selfishness, we don't like to do that all the time. But that's what we were created to do. And that's what one day, as believers, we will get to do again. But no one person can do it alone. Just as we were created by God with special gifts and abilities, so we are to use them with other people. Yes, Joe?
Ephesians 2:10 says we are his workmanship, created for good works which he prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Just amen. To go along with what you're saying.
Yeah, amen. Now, in fact, he's running around with Mike. If anybody has questions or comments, please raise your hand. He'll come find you. And then I'll notice that you're raising your hand. Yes, we were created for God's work. But if you've ever been to a naval shipyard or seen one on TV, you notice it's not just one guy walking around doing all the work. There's pipe fitters, there's welders, there's mechanics, there's engineers, there's electricians. They're all working together for one purpose. That's what the Christian church should be. We should all be working together for one purpose. Just as God created mankind to work together to steward his creation, that was the original intent, that we would oversee, that we would rule and reign and work his creation for him, just as that. Now, as the Christians, as believers today, we get to work together. We get to serve together alongside one another, not as an individual, but as a group. We get to do that to worship him again in his church. Amen? You took my verse. It's okay. Joe's one step ahead of me all the time. So. Okay. If God put this much effort into creating mankind, do we really believe in our heart of hearts that he's going to abandon us due to a lapse of in sin or anything like that? If he cares enough for us to personally come down and create mankind, if he cares enough to send his son to die on the cross for our sins, then he cares enough when you stumble into sin. Then he cares enough when you're tempted to run from him. That should give us hope, knowing that we're not alone because even God's looking out for us. Let me finish verse 19. He brought them to the man, the animals that he created, to see what he would name them. And whatever the man called each living creature, that was its name. So the man gave names to all the livestock, the birds in the sky, and the wild animals. So God parades all the animals in front of Adam so that he would name them. This is some of the stewarding that God asked mankind to do. The first job, name all the animals. So we can imagine what it was like, you know. Here comes an animal, and Adam's looking up at this long neck, and who knows how he came up with names. You know, I'm sure near the end it was getting a little harder, but, you know, sees this long neck, giraffe, you know, sees this long trunk. At some point he's got to be doing that. He didn't have a mirror. So he's got to be seeing an elephant and going, well, that's not like me. And then names it, and then, you know, an alligator, and seeing them teeth, and it's not like me. At some point he's got to realize that none of these animals are like him. You know, he can see, whatever you can see without a mirror, that's all Adam could see. So he's got to be wondering, where's something close to me? And then he sees an ape, maybe. I don't know. We're not sure. But God parades all of these animals before Adam, and he gives each of them a name. And it would appear at some point that Adam realizes that there is no one like him. He must also realize that there's a daddy and a mommy hippopotamus. There's a Mr. and Mrs. Goat. There's a Mr. and Mrs. Frog. I don't know. He must realize that because in verse 20, But for Adam, no suitable helper was found. See, God knew before Adam did exactly what Adam needed. And I think Adam, at this point, is starting to realize there's something different, something missing. So God brings all these animals before man, but no compatible or comparable creature was found. What Adam notices is there's no Mrs. Adams, Adam. You know, there's no wife. None of these animals were going to be suitable for him. He must at some point realize that. He must think, well, that doesn't look like me. What I noticed in this was there are no suitable alternatives outside of what God intends.
Amen.
The alternatives may be accepted by society, but there is no proper alternative to what God intends and to what God sets for us. All else has been twisted and perverted in order to thwart God's lordship in our lives. When we accept an alternative instead of what God intended, we are saying to God, I know better than you. And that's exactly what Satan wants us to do, as we will see when we get to chapter 3 eventually. Verse 21. So the Lord caused the man to fall into a deep sleep. And while he was sleeping, he took one of the man's ribs and then closed up the place with flesh. Then the Lord God made a woman from the rib he had taken out of the man, and he brought her to the man. I've got a simple question. Does anybody know where your ribs are? The Bible doesn't say that he took a bone out of Adam's head. It doesn't say that he took a bone out of Adam's foot. It doesn't say that he took a bone out of Adam's hand, arm, anywhere else. It says he took out of Adam's side, his rib. God doesn't create Eve, the woman, the same way he created Adam. A little different. We were talking about this the other day. God took that rib, which would contain all of the DNA necessary to recreate human life. But God didn't take out of the head. He didn't take out of the foot, because man is not supposed to lord his power over a woman. A woman is not supposed to be trampled under a man's foot, nor is she to lord her power over a man or trample him under a foot. That's not what God intended. God took out of the side of man to show a little solidarity. You know, when you hold your wife close, you're holding her to your side usually. You know, when you're walking down the street holding her hand, you're holding her to your side. It's to show a little solidarity, a little equality, if you will. But it's never to be over another person. Our society has gotten that wrong. In the history of this great country, there's slavery, where one man decided he was over another man. That's not what God intended. Even today, there's people that believe that they're better than somebody else. As believers, we need to understand that we're no better than anybody else. I'm no better than anybody in this room. I can attest to that. My wife could probably attest to it too. We all fall short. We all need the grace of God in our lives. God brought her to the man. In verse 19, we read that God brought the animals and no suitable helper was found. Now God brings the woman, and finally, Adam's got to be jumping for joy here, because finally, it's not a goat, it's not a chicken, it's not a whatever. It's like me. He's got to be thinking that. In fact, verse 23, the man said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, for she was taken out of man. the word flesh here indicates a relationship. Much how today we would say flesh and blood. You know, so-and-so is my flesh and blood. Well, the woman was literally his flesh and blood. But he was saying that Eve, or the woman, was taken out or separated from Adam. Adam had to lose something to gain her. And Christ calls all of us in the church to lose something to gain him, to gain salvation. There's always something. And I've heard it said that if it doesn't cost you, you won't value it. I think that might be what's going on here. That's my opinion. So verse 24. This is why a man leaves his father and mother and is united to his wife, and they become one flesh. At creation, two individuals were created, woman from man. And when a man and a woman get married, the Bible says that they become one flesh again. This is God's intended purpose for marriage, and this is God's intended purpose for the church. Throughout the Bible, the church is called the bride of Christ. Jesus is our husband, if you will. When the church wanders, when the Israelites wandered, it was said that they were led astray into adultery. They were an adulterous generation. That's how God views it. God wants his church pure. Now, you know, as well as I know, that I can't live that way all my life. It's hard. It's nearly impossible to live perfect, to live righteous, to live holy. But Christ gave his life. He came and lived the perfect life for us. He came and died the death that we couldn't pay. He gave of himself for us. I'm almost out of time. Verse 25. Adam and his wife were both naked, and they felt no shame. So the end of the sixth day, everything is good. There's no shame. No guilt. They're spotless. There's no sin. What was it like not to be tempted by something? What was it like to go through your day and not have a bad thought? To not have some memory pop up in your mind. That's what they experienced. Now, as we will see, Lord willing, next week, that doesn't last long. But in this passage, God gives Adam a helper. If we were created to worship God and to steward his creation, then we need help. We can't do it on our own. It's like the pastor of a church. The pastor of a church cannot stand up in the pulpit on Sunday morning while simultaneously running the PowerPoint, running the sound, and changing dirty diapers and plunging the toilet and all that. He can't do that. Nor is he gifted. Most pastors aren't gifted to do all that stuff. It's not a problem. It's the way we're created. That's where we come in as Christians. Because some of us are gifted at plunging toilets. Others are gifted at running the PowerPoint. I'm not. I get too distracted. I start singing along, and then the words never change. But as we look at our own lives, we realize our inadequacies. Our inadequacies to do everything, as well as our inadequacies to follow God as he commanded, to love God as he commanded. And one thing that the Lord convicted me of this week was, if we can't even love our brother and sister whom we've seen, how can we love God whom we haven't seen? Just as it wasn't good for man to be alone, Jesus knew it wasn't good for us to be alone. Now this is where we take a little twist. Because in John chapter 14, Jesus tells his disciples that he's going away. And then in verse 15 of chapter 14, he says, if you love me, keep my commandments. We know how difficult that is. But Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. He said, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and to be with you forever. Jesus promises us the Holy Spirit. Some translations actually say that Jesus will pray to the Father for another helper. That's what advocate means. The Holy Spirit is our helper. God knew we couldn't love God and keep his commands. So he sends the Holy Spirit to be our helper. Just as Adam needed a helper, so too we as believers need helpers. We need the Holy Spirit in our lives. If you don't have the Holy Spirit helping you on a daily basis, leading you, guiding you, convicting you of sin, then my prayer is that you'd allow him to tonight. That you open up your heart and allow the Holy Spirit to come in and do his work in you. If you've been trying to do this life on your own, if you've been attempting to do the Christian life, I go to church, I try to be a good person, we all fail at it. That's where the Holy Spirit comes in. And he encourages us. You can do it. The Holy Spirit comes alongside of us, and he's like a trainer. He's like, come on, just one more mile. He knows that God has plans for our lives, that God has a future for us. And he wants us to see that through. Because we were never meant to be alone, God saw that. He saw that it was no good for us to be alone. If you're here tonight and you feel alone, let us pray for you. I'm here, Pastor Jim's here. Some of the elders are here. We want to pray for you. We want to help you realize that God is enough in your life. I lead the youth, and I was talking to a young man a couple weeks ago, and he was looking for his sense of purpose in guys, whether it be his father, whether it be myself, whether it be, you know, other leaders that he knows, other guys that he looks up to. He was looking for that for purpose. And he was all depressed. And I said, I'm going to let you down. I'm going to be honest with you. At some point, I'm going to let you down. But God won't. Don't look to me. Don't even look to your father for purpose. Look to God. Because God is the one that will always be there for you. We're humans. We'll let you down every day of the week. So let me pray. We'll close out. If anybody does want to come, need prayer for anything, we'll be up here. So, dear Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight, Lord, understanding that we can't do this alone, Lord. Understanding that we need your Holy Spirit to lead us, to guide us, to direct us every moment of our lives. And Lord, we pray that you would send him to indwell us, that he fill us to overflowing with your Spirit, Lord, so that we can make it through another day, so that we can do the intended work that you have for us. Lord, you created us for work, for serving you, for loving you, for loving others. Lord, we pray that as we go through our week, that we would do just that, through the power of your Spirit, that we could love others and love you as you commanded. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
anybody here that needs just a touch from the Holy Spirit tonight, just as John said, feel free to make your way up for some prayer. If you just need some encouragement, or just need to ask the Lord for forgiveness, this is the time for you. And I don't want you to get scared about what people here may think, or how you may look, because I know that's something I used to worry about all the time. Father just wants you to come as you are, being humble, being ready to receive Him. I just pray the Holy Spirit will come upon you. If you're that individual here tonight, I'm going to sing Unashamed Love. Holy Spirit, just empower your people tonight. May you break down the walls in our hearts and in our minds. Father, come deeper within us. You're calling me to lay aside the worries of my day. Quiet down a busy mind and find a hiding place. Worthy, you are worthy. Open up my heart and let my spirit worship yours. Open up my mouth and let a song of praise come forth. Worthy, you are worthy. And of a childlike faith, of my honest praise, and of my unashamed.